It's Thursday, 18th of January, and you're listening to the year's very first Streamcast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Cello.
Ciao.
Dominoid.
Hello.
Hamilton.
Hello.
Puce.
Hello.
And Catty.
Hello.
Today we'll be covering Fortnite Battle Royale's new map, Elite Dangerous's open beta, Radiant Worlds being acquired by Rebellion, and of course the Nintendo Labo. But before the news, and before we get to the Labo, Labo, Laberio, what have you guys been reviewing this week? Can't ask Cello, because if you're watching the stream, you'll see that he's playing Batman Arkham Knight, which may distract us from whatever topic we're actually discussing.
No, I was actually listening. I've been reviewing the new expansion for Total Warhammer 2, the Tomb Kings. That's all I've been doing this week, besides working.
And playing Batman again.
And playing Batman, yeah, and having, yeah, just punching people over Gotham over and over and over and over again. May not have anger issues.
Not even Helldivers.
I haven't touched Helldivers for months, actually.
Honestly, I expected you to be streaming that.
Sorry to disappoint.
Okay, Dominoid.
So I am in the process of reviewing Bridge Constructor Portal. Or Portal Bridge Constructor. I can't remember which way around they put it. But it's a mashup between Bridge Constructor, which I found out I'm really bad at, and Portal, kind of. It's quite fun. It's more Bridge Constructor than Portal, so you have to like that style of sort of short physics based puzzle gaming. But it's good fun. I'm not sure if it's the same GLaDOS because the voice sounds slightly different. But it's still got sort of acerbic humour that we had in the Portal games, which is a really nice little touch.
It's definitely the same voice.
It is the same person. Okay. Maybe my ears are just forgetting how she sounds. It sounded slightly different pitch. Did anybody else notice that?
They might have used different effects or something.
Possibly, she sounds different between Portal 1 and Portal 2, because obviously the sound technology changes and they do stuff with the engine. I think it's just, it comes down to that game's not in source, and that they handle sound slightly differently.
That might well be
it. And it will be a little bit down to post-processing. They'll change stuff around to make it fit their game better, I guess.
Either way, it's good fun. And I have killed so many stick people. It's one of those games where you kind of you build your bridge and then you send things out on it, and in unless you're really good with sort of planning structural thing, if you're good with mechanics, which I'm not particularly, you just end up building loads of things that you think, oh, that's really sturdy, that'll be fine, and then you say go and everything falls apart and everyone dies. But it's funnier when they do die, so I guess that's the point.
Yeah, the reason I didn't review it is because I'm also awful at those sort of games. I can get to level 7 of whichever bridge constructor it is, and then that's it.
It's all about the triangles.
Yeah, the difficulty spike is quite pronounced. I was sailing through the first 10, 15 levels, and then when I got level 20, it took me 30 minutes to solve one level.
I don't think I've even got to level 20. I think I'm about 15, 16 at the moment. My general theory is that if I can't work out how to make something stable, just put as many triangles on it as possible and just sort of make giant structures that fill the whole screen. Then they can't fall over because there's nowhere for them to fall.
Have you been playing anything else?
I have been playing Super Mario Odyssey. Really, really good. It's my favourite Mario since Galaxy, I think. And Galaxy was my favourite Mario.
So it was deserving of a Game of the Year nod?
It definitely deserved to be in there in the in the fray. It's really, really good fun. There's a lot of what I like is they reward exploration very well. So you don't have to do the whole Mario parkour thing. You don't have to jump up on everything and explore places, but you'll get extra moons for doing it. And it's really quite nice and fun. It's one of the few games where I've seen Amiibo actually has semi-decent uses, because they go out and find hints to secrets in the game for you. And I got a Dr. Mario costume for having that Amiibo. So, yeah, overall, I'm really happy with that. What I'm finding as well, I don't know if any of the other Switch owners have found this, but I'm playing it in portable mode a lot more than I thought it would.
This is where I weigh in.
You're the only other Switch owner, aren't you?
Oh.
I thought Pew's had a Switch as well. Do you not, Pew?
No, not yet. No.
I barely play it docked into the TV. I always play it portably.
Did you expect to play it more on the TV than you actually did, though? Because I kind of felt...
No, not with the amount of time my girlfriend spends on the TV.
Ah, that's a fair point.
But this way, I get to sit on the sofa next to her and pretend we're spending time together.
Well, this is exactly why I have my PC set up right next to my fiancée, because that way I can pretend I'm not completely ignoring her while I'm sat here podcasting and you know, not speaking to her.
Seems legit. Hamilton, what have you been up to?
I've been a very naughty boy. I'm not actually reviewing anything at the moment. However, I have been playing a lot of Divinity Original Sin 2. I've been sucked back into it, unfortunately. So it's been taking over my life. And Cello and I played a little bit of Total War Warhammer co-op at the weekend, which was quite good. It was quite funny to watch Cello get frustrated at losing battles, in particular.
Was that the first one or the second one?
First Warhammer. He's so used to being all conquering on the other games that when this one threw a spanner in the works, we had to restart.
It was the first time in my life, I have over like 1,000 hours of Total War, that ever happened. And I don't deal well with failure. It was really disconcerting.
You had it on medium as well.
No, I don't, no.
Total shock.
It's the first time this has ever happened to me. Cello, 2018.
But yeah, that's about it. That's about it for me. Quite a quick shout out to the game Bomber Crew, by the way, which is amazing. I think people should check that out. It's like Faster Than Light, but it's set in World War II and you're in a bomber plane. But that's about it for me.
Okay, Puce.
I am also not currently reviewing anything, but thanks to you mentioning a No Man's Sky mod the other day, that's sent me on a path back through what was one of my worst nightmares of last year. Well, a bit more than last year now. It was August the previous year, wasn't it? But so I'm playing No Man's Sky rather a lot again at the moment, and it's the first time I've really touched it since all the updates, and I'm surprisingly having a good time with it. All the updates have made a really big difference.
To be fair, it was a quite a big mod that I pointed you towards, so I figured if you didn't enjoy it before, maybe you would now.
Yeah, it's just funny that I've not actually installed the mod. I'm just... because I thought I'd pop in and see what vanilla was like, unmodded, and I've not stopped playing it. So, all the updates have changed it quite a lot, especially the beginning flow. It's like how it used to funnel you along with the breadcrumb quest, and then it was just kind of open and just said, get to the centre of the galaxy, and there was very little of anything else. It's like, even though the additions that the updates have added, like base building and vehicles, it's like the base building especially, it just seems really out of context with what the game... Because the game's constantly pushing you to the centre of the galaxy as like the main thing. So then it's like, on the other hand, it's saying, oh, but settle down and do this farming stuff. But it's actually, that stuff's actually better than what I gave it credit for when I read the updates. So... it's actually quite an interesting game now. I feel like this is what it probably... If it was like this at launch, we would all have a very different opinion on the game, I think.
Fair enough. And Catty?
I'm still trying to review Squish and the Corrupted Crystal. I've discovered that the game just does not like my controller. I've tried to play it on keyboard and have decided to go back to the controller because it is even worse.
Yikes.
I'm probably going to give up trying to finish that game before I review it. In between despairing attempts of that, I started playing Guild Wars 2 this week.
Oh, good man.
Because I had a hankering for playing something bigger than anything else I had, and I have Guild Wars keys after buying so many Humble Bundles. So I started playing that, and I had a good time with that, actually. I liked how there was some of the action combat where you kind of can avoid big spells and abilities and things, but there's still, it's not so much that all you're doing is dodging, which is my experience in some of the other action attempts at action combat in MMOs. I also ran a D&D campaign, the start of a D&D campaign on Roll20 yesterday evening, and that went as well as it could have done, I guess. One of the player characters literally died because the other one fired lightning at him. It did kill the spider, though, so...
Now there's a game we should be playing on stream.
So, sorry, what's D20? Is it
it's
text based or
sorry, Roll20. It's a online sort of interface so you can run D&D campaigns, so D&D Pathfinder, basically anything that runs dice rules, and you can do that all online. And it's very powerful, kind of confusing. Reminds me a lot of TeamSpeak in that regard, where it's kind of not very user-friendly, but if you know what you're doing with it, it does it better than anything else.
Well, fair enough. I've been playing my time at Portia for preview. It's coming out next week on Early Access, so I've been trying to hammer that out. It's basically Harvest Moon, but with less planting crops and more crafting. Just everything. Also, Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory, which has got to be the longest Digimon title ever. It's coming out tomorrow, but I only got the code 2 days ago. Apparently I've played 79 hours of it, though. But that's because you can import your save from the previous title, and it carries on the playtime from that for some reason.
No, it's not. It's because you're a time traveller.
Honestly, I don't quite know what to think of it. I'm enjoying it, but the Digimon get far too much XP because I haven't had to swap the 3 Digimon I've been using for 12 hours out of the 15 or so I've played so far. Usually you have to swap out so that you can have one that's a better element or a different type, so it's more powerful against the others. And other than that, Press X to Not Die reviewed. It's an awesome FMV game that released late last year, and it's well worth the £2 it costs. I even bought the deluxe edition upgrade because I just wanted to give them more money. It's it's 90% QTE, but yes, it's very fun, very funny. Oh, I also, away from the site, I've been playing a bit of Metal Gear Solid The Phantom Pain because Cello wouldn't shut up about it.
Sorry.
That game really looks good.
Yes, isn't it?
Right, speaking of things that look good, Nintendo Labo. Labo?
I say Labo.
I presume it was like Labrador, so Labo.
I assumed it was as in laboratory, which you shortened to lab, so Labo. Is it meant to sound like Lego, but it's just non-copyright infringing enough?
See, I've been saying Labo.
If you look on Twitter, an awful lot of people have been saying labia, so that's a thing.
That says a lot about the people on Twitter more than it
does. Yeah, I was going to say, how do you get from labo to labia? But
my personal favourite was the guy who said, my son's been calling it the Nintendo labia, now I'm going to need to go and scrub his internet history.
just for research purposes.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the Nintendo Labo is a new, it's a pair of games that come with a bunch of cardboard that you construct that basically give you new ways to control the Joy-Cons. What are people's thoughts?
It's an awesome piece of engineering. I mean, it's obviously we're not the target market. They're not aiming it at middle-aged men, but it does
work. Think for yourself.
I can see there's a lot of kids are going to get a lot out of this because this is like a proper, you know, functional build and imagine toy, and it's genderless, and it is Nintendo's second answer to Lego after the NB blocks.
I was not that interested in it until I saw one was a house, and I realised that that's the only house I'm ever going to be able to afford. Thanks to Twitter for that joke.
Oh dear. I think I retweeted that today, actually.
You did.
Yeah, these toy cons can turn into things such as an RC car, a fishing rod, a house, a motorbike, a piano, or a robot.
The RC car looks awesome. There's no wheels, it just kind of vibrates the Joy-Cons to move it around.
I think it's the best use of the HD rumble that I've seen since they bigged that thing up.
It's another case of Nintendo's ability to think outside the box. The cardboard box, that is. Sorry. I think it's incredible. It's an incredible piece. Like, people did not expect this to come out, and here it is. And some, it's split people completely down the middle online when I saw the reaction. Lots of people saying, the people who wanted Super Smash Brothers saying, "Oh, what is this? This is rubbish. What's the point in this?" And then other people going, "This is pretty crazy good." I probably won't buy it. I mean, it's 60 quid for the variety pack and 70 quid for the robot pack and 9 quid for stickers. But I think, you know, for people who have kids or who have kids and want the excuse to buy it so they can play it themselves, it's a great, great little product.
The fact that it's cardboard probably makes a big difference as well, because when it inevitably breaks, because kids do tend to play with toys quite roughly, you can replace it with just regular cardboard. And I'm sure there's going to be loads of print and play type sets that they'll put out online. It's getting fun back into gaming. I'm in the same boat as you. I probably won't buy it, but if they ever make a cardboard Rob, then I probably won't be able to stop myself.
I'm really interested in buying it, even if I don't have a Switch, just because I want to find out how some of the mechanics in it work, like the fishing rod where it's with the string, and I think I want to know how that piano works.
Yeah, the piano was the one for me where I watched it and I thought, how does that work inside?
There's a camera in one of the toy cons that is downwards and watches the rest keys to tell which one you're pressing.
That's very clever. Yeah, I think it's a great thing. I did tweet earlier saying it's nice that it goes back to Nintendo's toy heritage, and that it's a playful, fun thing that's and it's just interesting. A lot of the games look fun, and it's nice to see the return of Project Giant Robot as a separate thing. Because they demoed that originally when they showed off what became Star Fox Guard for the Wii U. So it's not, and they said that it had been canned, but it's nice that they've repurposed that into something interesting. It looks cool.
Well, as you say, Hamilton, it's 60 to 70 quid plus more if you want the stickers. Obviously, you have to provide your own colouring pens if you want to just colour it in. Also, there's no... If part of it breaks or you lose part of it, or... Well, it's... This is, things for kids, so your kids are going to destroy it. You have to pay for replacement bits, which it's obviously not going to be cheap to buy replacement bits.
I mean, that is until someone just doesn't make one and photocopies it and puts it online.
That's true.
I may have seen a rumor. I mean, it's probably wrong. I saw it on the Twitter sphere that the replacement pieces are free.
No, that was. I saw something that someone tweeted about. IGN had revealed that was actually false, and Nintendo have retracted it.
Oh well.
Yeah, that was. I think that was literally just a typo, because the website changed about half an hour later.
Someone at the top went, "Oh shit!"
You'd think if they planned this at all, that they might have proofread the site.
Nintendo planned something.
No, obviously this was all just last minute.
Yeah, they came up with it last week. I think it will live and die by how gripping the games are. I mean, yeah, you can make however many there are, 10 or 12 different variations of it. But if at the end of the day, it's only like 5 minutes of fun for each.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what it comes down to.
I think it would probably die anyway, because it's very clearly a Nintendo gimmick. I don't think they want to go anywhere with this. This is not like the next big thing after the Amiibo. I think it's just something cool they've come up with, that they're going to do these two games, and maybe if it's really successful, maybe one other, but I can't see them doing more with this than that.
They're probably going to have Kirby or at least one Mario tie-in thing.
Mario Tennis.
Ooh, cardboard Kirby.
Yeah, you make a big cardboard Kirby that you stand inside, and I don't know how you would do the breathing animation. But
you stand inside the cardboard Kirby, and you have to eat everything in your house to gain its power.
That's it.
Right, from Toy Cons to Fortnite Battle Royale. It's got a new map,
I thought we'd get through 1 week without talking about it.
No, that's Pug-a-gubba-bubba, which we would have gotten away with if you hadn't brought it up.
Oh, bugger.
Can we go?
Sorry.
We should try and go 1 week without talking about Battle Royale games.
To be fair, I think we did, didn't we? Did we talk about them last week?
We brought up Pug-a-gubba-bubba.
Yeah. I agree, Cello.
Sorry.
Battle Royale, Fortnite Battle Royale now has, the same amount of maps as Pug-a-bubba-bubba?
No, it's the same map, they've just tweaked it and altered quite a big chunk of it, so it's not a separate map per se, it's more a rejig of the existing one. They've added new locations and an underground section, and they've altered quite a lot of how the western side of the map was, because it was quite empty before, apart from a few pockets of buildings. So it's split the map up into biome sections, so there's different textures and things everywhere instead of the grass being the same everywhere. So basically a visual overhaul and a rejig of the existing map.
Yeah,
so basically instead of splitting up the player base, they've improved the game the existing player base can get.
Yeah, looking at the map, the Moisty Mire does look different from the Dusty Depot and the Anarchy Acres.
Is that actually what it's called, the Moisty Mire?
Yes. It's my favourite place to land.
That's why I said it. That's why I chose it to say.
Oh, everyone's favourite word.
I'm surprised you didn't say anything about Shifty Shafts.
That's not as good as Moisty Mires. From Moist to Space. Elite Dangerous is having an open beta next week. Yes, next Thursday. Beyond Chapter 1.
Yeah, what's essentially going to be the beginning of Season 3, even though they're not actually calling it Season 3, but the first part, which they're calling Chapter 1, is going to be a big update that's presumably not going to be too far away if the beta's starting next week. And it's going to change quite a bit of stuff. They did a live stream earlier tonight where they showcased the trade changes that are coming in. Currently in game, there's no real way of locating where good places to sell stuff are. But they're adjusting how the systems work. So any station or place you've been to now saves the information so that you can search for it directly on the map and have it show up as a comparison with the existing market. So it'll actually be a good way of finding trade deals instead of relying on outside websites. There's quite a lot of other stuff with the trade things. Like, they've made quite a lot of UI changes to how the map works, and also they're changing how planetary surfaces look, at least from space. They haven't really gone into detail as whether they're rejigging the surfaces in this first patch, although that is coming later on in the year. But all in all, it's quite a substantial patch. There's quite a lot of things that are being changed. And it's free to all existing players of the base game, all those with Horizons.
Yep, there's, as you say, changes to lots of the UI and the inner workings. There's a new ship, new planet, not new planets, new looks to some of the planets. It's looking like a good amount of content for something that's free.
Yeah, definitely, because they're doing this season as a free update. I feel in some ways that this is almost an apology for how little they actually added during the Horizon season, because they didn't end up having as many updates as what they initially intended. So it's nice that these are free updates, but yeah, it's quite substantial.
Yeah, at one point in, I think when 2.2 of Horizons came out, something went wrong and they had to take it back to the drawing board, and that really delayed their plans.
But yeah, from what we know for what's planned for throughout the year of updates, there's going to be two smaller updates during the summer and autumn, and then in winter there's going to be what they're calling a gigantic patch, like a much bigger offering that's going to actually alter how the planets look when you're on them. So icy planets will actually have glaciers and overhangs and things, and proper actual updates, as well as some unspecified changes to how some other core mechanics of the game work, like mining, which is currently a bit neglected. So it's they're going to give some love to the core mechanics of the game. But it'll be interesting to see how the entire season of Beyond progresses and what actually gets added to the game.
Right, from space. No, I already used that one. From that bit of news to Radiant Worlds, a developer which looked to be in trouble when the project they were working on was cancelled by the publisher, has been acquired by Rebellion, the makers of Sniper Elite and Battlezone, amongst others.
And one of the last developers for the Atari Jaguar back in the day as well, if I remember rightly.
Well, Rebellion were.
They were, yes. They did the Jaguar version of Checkered Flag and Aliens vs. Predator.
Yes,
which is probably one of the few really good games that's worth getting a Jaguar for.
Interesting. Rebellion have now renamed them to Rebellion Warwick, which means that there's now a Rebellion office 5 minutes closer to me than there used to be. Because I'm almost slap bang in the middle between Warwick and Oxford.
Yay! Rebellion have, they've kind of, they're one of those developers that have been around for ages, but they've been sort of not as hugely well known until recently. But they've just sort of, in the last few years, they seem to have like massively exploded in both size and quality of games.
Are they the ones that made Evil Genius?
They are. They've got it now,
Evil Genius was Elixir Games originally, and when they went bust, Rebellion bought them out, but they are currently making Evil Genius 2. That's probably one of the things for this acquisition that I'm most excited about, because it means that potentially the Oliver twins, who were the founders of Radiant Worlds and obviously creators of Dizzy, they are now part of the Rebellion team, and they're going to be working on existing Rebellion projects. So there's a possibility that two of my favorite developers of all time may be working on one of my favorite, like, sort of undiscovered gem games of all time.
You just want Evil Genius 2 to have a trap where it's just eggs wearing boxing gloves.
I was just going to say, we just want Dizzy Easter eggs everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, if there was a Dizzy Easter egg, pun intended, then I would be super happy. I mean, that would be my dream. I'd like to see, actually, if this acquisition, if it will help with Sky Saga. Yeah. Because Sky Saga was looking like it would be really good fun. I was quite surprised it got cancelled.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that, has there been any suggestion that Sky Saga's back on the cards now, or is it still, they've not made any comment?
Well, the only statement that we've had so far has said that Rebellion Warwick are going to be working on existing Rebellion projects. So that sort of implies, but doesn't outright say, that Sky Saga will remain cancelled. I suppose it depends who owns the IP as well. Was the IP owned by the publisher, or was it owned by Radiant Worlds?
I would think it's with the publisher, because if I recall correctly, when they were told to cancel it, they said that they were looking at ways to stay in business. That suggests that what work they had done on Sky Saga was now null and void.
Yeah, that is a shame.
I suppose there's nothing to stop them making Die Naga or what, something.
Water Saga.
Yeah. Fire Arga.
You can't use Saga because that's copyrighted by King.
Oh, fuck off.
Sky Crush Saga.
Not
Land.
You, King, obviously. We want to trademark this common English word that's been in use since the 16th century.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, what sort of input the Oliver twins will have on the presumably the heads of this of Rebellion Warwick. So it'll be interesting to see how that actually plays out with other people's properties rather than their own things.
It's kind of interesting as well to see that this is sort of one. This is two sets of industry veterans that are coming together, and it just shows how difficult a market computer games are, because the Oliver twins started in the 80s and they started in the 90s.
Yeah.
They're still both old school veterans, and Rebellion have managed to be incredibly popular. Whereas Radiant Worlds, I felt, should have been more popular, but they just sort of, it's almost just bad luck, isn't it? And in the case of Rebellion, I guess since Sniper Elite, that's made them who they are. So it's almost sort of I'm hesitant to say luck. It's just sort of right game at the right time. They made what people wanted when they wanted it.
Yeah, they've had a kind of weird, spotty release list over the years. I mean, it's like a lot of the, like, 2000 AD licensed stuff's been a bit ropey, but the Aliens vs Predator games were fantastic, and then, like you say, going forward with the Sniper Elite things, which is their own thing, seems to have done really well for them.
Yeah. Shall we just pretend that Judge Dredd versus Zombies didn't exist?
Yeah.
Judge Dredd versus zombies. I know about Judge Dredd versus Dead.
Yeah, Judge Death. Yeah, that's the one.
No, it was like a mobile game. It was very, very bad.
Oh, they did an even worse mobile game.
Oh. 2010, I want to say. It was quite a while ago now. It was pretty bad. It was around the same time that they did the Evil Genius Facebook game. Oh,
the terrible Facebook
was
thing.
It was a bad idea.
Right, last talking point that I've got written down is on the site, on GameGrin.com, we posted up a video of last year's Grindex, a roundup of all the news from 2017, or all the interesting news, at least.
We made a pun! Yay!
Everything's a pun if you try hard enough.
That's true. Everything's a butt plug if you try hard enough.
No, it has to have a flared base.
Have to. Depends if you want to play on hard mode or not.
Depends if you want a trip to the A&E.
Yeah. Anyway, so changing the subject. Yes, Grindex. This was a lot of fun to record. Has anybody watched it?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought Sven was your cousin.
Yeah, I noticed that in editing, but it was too late to re-record. So, he's become my brother now, apparently.
Adopted.
Yeah. Also, I've discovered something. I am really bad at accents.
I mean, we could have told you that.
This is true. In my head, I'm a lot better than I am. But, I just sort of, it's one of those things you start with it and you just roll with it.
So, what did you find was most interesting out of all of the news was covered?
I think the fact that just so much happened in 2017 was kind of quite, because going through the amount of stuff that we had to cut out of that because there just wasn't the time. And there's so many things as well that have started up that we heard the start of a news story and never heard a conclusion to it. Like the lawsuit between Bluehole and Epic Games, nothing came of that. And we had that Atari box thing that got announced and then nothing. And there's not even a prototype of that yet. So yeah, 2017 was the year of starting projects and then getting bored halfway through, apparently.
You mean like weekly news roundup videos?
I was going to say, to be fair, that's something that I identify with as well.
That's true.
On the Atari Box website there, you can join a wait list to be told when crowdfunding will start. And that's it.
That's not a good sign.
The fact that I'm getting things on their press contacts list about 2 weeks after they've put them on that website is a slightly worrying trend as well.
There was an article on The Verge saying they plan to open pre-orders on Thursday. This was December.
So the new Coleco Chameleon, anyone?
Was that the one that was actually just in Raspberry Pi?
It wasn't a Raspberry Pi. There was two versions. One was a SNES Junior in a Jaguar shell. And then the later one was a video capture card playing pre-recorded footage in a Jaguar shell. And They made the brilliant decision of making this prototype out of transparent plastic, so people on the internet worked out exactly what it was and the fact that it wasn't actually live footage.
That's brilliant.
That was just one massive, huge con. And I'm kind of worrying this as well. And the trouble is, with something like this as well, it's got the Atari name on it. So for people who are half interested in video games and played things on Atari consoles when they were kids, they're going to think, oh, it's Atari, it's going to be really good. But obviously the Atari name has been passed around sort of more times than your mum at an after party. So it's just, it's not Atari. It's someone who owns the Atari name now. Is it Infograms now, or is somebody
else?
They
used
them?
To. I don't think even Infograms. I don't think it's them anymore either. It was at one point. Like you say, it's one of those things. It's been passed around so many times now. Who even knows?
According to Wikipedia, it is still Infograms.
Nah, they still own it.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, it's going to be a massive cock-up, isn't it? But it'll be nice to see some of the nice announcement things that will be coming out for it, because at the same time as the Atari box, Evil Genius 2 was announced, and we've already established that a few of us are quite excited for that.
Yeah, looking at the wiki, Atari Inc. is now its own subsidiary. Because the original acquisition, the company went the Atari Inc. filed for bankruptcy. And split off from its parent company. And that's what Infograms owns.
Atari filed for bankruptcy which time?
Yeah, this is it's like the millionth time.
The other thing that sort of quietly disappeared was right at the beginning of the year, Game Cheat 13, the guy that got banned across everything on Microsoft for trying to... kind of blackmail them, and in doing research for it, I noticed that he had videos up within a few weeks of that happening. So yeah, that went well. So apparently, even blackmail doesn't get you a permanent ban if you can rake in YouTube views.
Yeah, while I was watching it, when you mentioned that, I was like, oh yeah, that was a pretty big deal at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then it was just like, oh, go on, have your account back then. It's fine. It was just a bit of banter.
I can just imagine Phil Spence saying that through gritted teeth.
The Switch, I think, was the big story for me of 2017, of just kind of that. I mean, that is probably one of the best comebacks since Take That reinvented them as an adult band. It's just... You remember when it was sort of first announced and they gave a release date in January and everyone went, oh, okay, well, they're rushing it out to try and cut their losses for the tax year. It's going to be awful. This is probably going to be Nintendo's last console. And the whole portable thing is a gimmick. And then it comes to the end of the year and it is the thing that everybody wants. And it's just, I don't think I've seen a turnaround quite so strong.
Did Take That really reinvent themselves? I feel they just decided that 40-year-old women had more money than 20-year-olds.
Well, all I know is that they're doing all right for themselves since, and I don't think Gary Barlow would have got an OBE if he was still singing like "Never Forget" and "Relight My Fire."
Well, you mentioned that people thought the portability of the Switch was a gimmick. The Labo kind of proves that it's a home console, because you're certainly not going to be walking around with your giant robot backpack on.
Speak for yourself.
And like I said on Twitter, via the medium of seeing someone else's joke with a retweet, that proves the Switch is a home console. It is literally a house if you want it to be. There was the reminder of Brash Games and the now infamous interview from now our writer Ben McCurry, and that was hilarious. That was an awful lot of fun, because it just kind of I like that idea of just sort of media terrorism, if you will. It was very Chris Morris-esque, and I enjoyed that. No one else knows who Chris Morris is, do you?
Brass eye, I know who Chris Morris is.
Did we decide once and for all whether video games are fun, though?
Nintendo seems to think they are.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think... I mean, again, we've established that they should make you cry, so they shouldn't be fun.
No, that's true.
But what if they make you cry with laughter at all the fun you're having?
That's a good point.
Or if you're catty, they make you die.
I think it was
so many times.
I think it was PC Gamer at the time. Was it PC? One of the PC magazines at the time was reviewing Day of the Tentacle when it came out on DOS. And their cover said, "This new game made us cry milk from our nose." So, you know, that counts.
Crying can be fun. Feeling something can be fun. If a game is like, if it does it well, if it's not in a cheesy way and it makes you sad and all that, it's the same thing with movies, you know, like people go to movies, sad movies, and they're like, well, some of the best received movies ever are, you know, bad movies, like Gone with the Wind and stuff. That's or true. that one where the Jew guy gets killed at the end,
Life is Beautiful.
Exactly. It is a sad movie. It has like a horrible event going on all throughout the movie. But everybody looks at that and goes, oh, it's good. It's fun. Like, let's watch it again. It's, you know, it's...
That was one of the first foreign films I ever bought on DVD, actually. And that is still, to this day, one of my favourite films ever. But I still bawl my fucking eyes out because it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a thing that... We're starting to see more and more in games now where it's not just twee happy endings, but we're starting to see that mix. We're starting to see games being looked at as family entertainment. So you've got stuff like Labo, which is very clearly aimed at children. But then you've got much more complex things. Even on just looking at the Switch as an example, you've got things like Skyrim, which you wouldn't really have aimed at kids, and you've got like Grand Theft Auto V's coming, which I know is played by kids, but shouldn't be. And you've got like Bayonetta's getting a third game. That's really not a kiddies game. So it's good to see that the games industry is kind of, it's reached a stage of maturity at which games don't just have to be family entertainment or comedy. We can have a game which is a tragedy. We can have a game which is pure drama, and that's where it needed to branch out, I think, to really, really get accepted as a generalized form of entertainment.
And with that, we've reached the end of the cast. Thank you for those who've watched us live. Thanks for joining me, Cello, Dominoid, Hamilton, Puce, and Catty. You can find us and tweet to us on Twitter with memes at Grincast, and follow Game Grin on Facebook or Twitter, or just Google for Game Grin to find us all over the place. Thanks for watching, and game on.